I'm excited to be in Bernice here today to share with you a few things about some of this weekend's readings and to talk a little bit about the missions, which you're going to be supporting with a collection later during the Mass. And the part of the readings today that touched me most will be my thoughts on the second reading of today, St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And it reminds me of something I read somewhere about a theologian who observed that the high water mark of the Old Testament, he was trying to compare some things about the Old Testament and the New Testament, because he was in his theology. He said the high point for him in the Old Testament was the part of the Psalms when David, who wrote that particular psalm, said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have no fear of evil." And that's found in Psalm 23. And for him, the high point of the New Testament is what Paul said when he wrote to the Philippians, when he said, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ." In the Old Testament watermark, David wanted to stay, but was willing to go. He wanted to stay, but he was willing to go. But in the New Testament, Paul wanted to go, but he was willing to stay. And today's second reading brings out this unparalleled faith of Paul, who says of himself in today's second reading, "We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Away from the body, but at home with the Lord. As Christians, we believe that dying is going back to our loving Father. If it is so, why then do so many of us have this debilitating fear of death and of dying? In our world today, it seems that Christians are more afraid to die than people of other religions around us. Why? And why is this so, since we have so much lofty belief about what happens at death? More importantly, how did St. Paul overcome his fear of death? Can we learn from Paul today so that we too can overcome this fear and be confident in following God in our little ways, in our Christian life? We have to understand that even if we are Christians and we follow and we believe, we have to have that hope. Hope that it's not all in this world. There is hope that we will be happier even than we are right now. Yes, judgment will come. But when we do our little bit, the Lord has a way of having mercy and bringing us to Himself. You know, St. Paul overcame that by believing, like he said in the reading today, that we walk by faith and not by sight. As he said in the second reading, Paul was a man who tried to see things in the light of faith, not in the light of how it appears to the senses. To walk by faith is to evaluate situations and decide on lines of action in the light of our faith and not on the basis of popular opinion. The world we live in, for example, sees death as a coming to an end. But our faith sees death as a gateway to have a union with God. It means being at home with the Lord. And therefore I say that for us Christians, death is not extinguishing the light from the Christian. Death is putting out the lamp because morning has broken. When we are able to see death as entering into the fullness of life with God, entering into the possession of all our heart's desires, then we shall be able to see it as something to look forward to with confidence, not something to be afraid of. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's how St. Paul overcame his own fear of death. So do we want to be like St. Paul in overcoming our fear of death? Do we want to share this hope and look forward with confidence to the last judgment? If we want to, then we must decide here and now as Christians to be like him in walking by faith and making it our sole and constant desire as Christians to please God in all things that we do. Let us try to please God in all things. St. Paul took that very seriously in his life. He walked by faith and he said, I'm going to do the will of God in my life. If we can decide as a family, as individuals, to say, I'm going to try and always do the will of God. I'm going to try. When we try, God helps us. Today is Father's Day, and we wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. And we pray that they do everything they can to try to be always be good fathers, trying to do the will of God, learning from God. God, as our Father, gives us the way to be good fathers. By loving our family, loving our children, doing everything we can to make them comfortable and bringing them up in the fear of God. After years of the imitation of Christ, sometimes we often wonder why we are not yet saints, why we are not yet perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. From year to year, our progress in holiness may seem imperceptible, but the gospel assures us today, the gospel of today assures us today that as long as we are able to abide in God, the seed of faith sown in us, like the mustard seed, will continue to grow, will continue to bear abundant fruit for the harvest. In the same manner, this parable of the mustard seed challenges us today as Christians to not discount the little things we do for God. Jesus expresses in this parable, a mustard seed is very tiny, but when you sow it with time, it becomes a great tree, a great shrub that gives shelter to the birds. It encourages us to put more diligence in doing the little things every day, seemingly insignificant things that we do for the kingdom of God. And one of the things we're called to do today as children of God, for the kingdom of God, is to support the missions. We have the opportunity every year for a missionary priest to come and talk to us about the missions, and afterwards we do everything we can to support the cause of the missions. In the last few years, Dominicans have come from the province of Nigeria to come to tell you a little bit about the missions. And that is what I have come to do, and I will share a little bit about the Dominican missions. The first Dominican missionaries to arrive in Nigeria, by the way, Nigeria is in the west of Africa. It's a coastal nation. The south of the country is on the coast of the Atlantic. And the Dominicans from America actually from the Central Province in Chicago, arrived Nigeria in 1951. That time, Nigeria was a colony of Britain, the British colony. And Nigeria only gained independence 9 years after that, which was in 1960. And since then, the country had actually grown through a lot. The most peaceful part of the history of the country was just a few years after independence, because 6 years after independence, we were thrown into a civil war. And that was between 1966 and 1970. And after that, everything about the demographics of Nigeria changed. Everything changed. And we still have not recovered in a way from that. And that has affected so much. Affected the life, affected the faith, affected religion, affected economy, affected everything. Because after the war, there was a long military rule. And that kind of destroyed a lot of things that the missionaries did in Nigeria. And of course, Nigeria is polarized in the sense that half of the country is to the south is predominantly Christian. Half of the country to the north is predominantly Muslim. And it's so interesting that when the Dominicans came to Nigeria to found the Dominican Order in Nigeria, they decided to stay in the Muslim north to minister to the few Christians in the Muslim north and also convert those who at that time didn't even have any religion as such. So we still have missions there. And that is like our pivot point in Nigeria, because a lot of progress was done, but in the last decade, we've experienced a lot of violence. So much violence. I was telling them in the earlier mass that in one of the churches in the north where I was pastor at some point for 6 years, 4 years out of the 6 years, every day I had military protection in my church. Yeah, because we were afraid that someone was going to come and blow up themselves in the church. Yeah, because we had this Muslim Islamist group, Boko Haram, that was, I mean, ravaging the whole of the north of Nigeria. I mean, it's not as, I was telling some people after the first mass that it's not as bad as it was 10 years ago. 10 years, 8 years, 6 years ago, it was like hell. Because we're constantly under attack. And it's so interesting because in the south of the country, many of them didn't even know what was going on in the north of the country. It was so peaceful. It was like two different worlds in the same country. Because the south was predominantly Christian. The north that was predominantly Muslim was a violent place. They didn't want Christians there. But the Dominicans and other missionaries have continued to work in that place. Every day we rebuild schools that we built for everyone. I mean, you build a school, you call it a Catholic school actually, but more than half of the children in the Catholic school are Muslim because the school is for everyone. And yet, when there is violence, they come and destroy everything and say, we don't want you guys to be here. You know, but we can't leave the few Christians who are there because that is where they are from. Many of the people causing the violence are members of their families, people we know. And somehow the government is very silent about some of the things going on there. So, when you support the missions, whatever you give in collections and different support goes to some of the work that we do in that part of the world. And not just there. The beautiful thing about Nigeria, apart from all the negatives, one of the positive things in terms of the church is that the church has actually grown. The church has grown. We're having lots and lots of vocations. We're almost overwhelmed. For the Dominican Order alone, every year we get about 300 to 500 applications of young men who want to be Dominicans. Unfortunately, we can only take in our formation program, we can only take about between 10 to 15 a year. So you know how gruesome it will be for the vocation director to receive 500 applications and only select 15. So it is really tasking. We will want to take more people, but if we have to take more people, we have to build bigger places to accommodate everyone. So the facility we have takes a maximum of 15 about a year. And it's really expensive to kind of train everyone, because when they come in, they're asked not to pay anything, and we rely on generosity of people like you and people from everywhere to support the training of a Dominican to the priesthood. So things like that is what all the money goes into. So we encourage you, when it's time for the second collection, to give something for the missions. And of course, if you want to give more later on, you can do that. Father Jerome will tell you how to do that. And also pray for us. Pray for us. And as you give, the message I always send back home is that, yes, the beautiful people of Benicia have given something in support of the missions, and they do that every year. So please, brothers, pray for them. And constantly, everyone is praying for you. So thank you so much. We thank Father Jerome, thank the diocese, and thank everyone who supports the mission today. But remember God's words today. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.